whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Download it in the Apple App Store, Google Play, or wherever else phone apps exist. I think that pretty much covers it. You can also listen to us at the team980.com and watch us again live on YouTube at the Team 980. Say you're snowed in. Just you have a smart TV, YouTube app. See Anthony in a Michael Penix style durag.
You see, hey, look, this is the durag he wore when he was at Washington.
Yeah, it's that beautiful purple hue.
That royal purple, man.
Yeah, he's got it rolled the same exact way, which is what someone in the YouTube chat pointed out, which I thought was funny, and so did Anthony, which is why I felt comfortable saying it on the radio. It's time now, on a Monday, for our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
On Fridays, we pick six players that we think will have an outsized impact in the game. Quarterbacks are excluded, and then on Monday, we see how those players did. And we start off with number one.
Number one.
And that number one player was Micah Parsons, and boy, did he have an impact on this game. Had a 90.2 defensive grade from PFF. As he had 3 sacks, 4 pressures, 1 hurry, had another tackle, did have a couple of missed tackles on some run plays, but all in all, a fantastic game for Parsons, and frankly, I think he's the reason that Jaden Daniels didn't play the second half. I think Dan Quinn was kind of sick of seeing Jaden get hit by Micah Parsons and was like, this is stupid, we have the playoffs around the corner, and even though he denies that that was a factor, I think that's why Jaden didn't play the second half, so yeah. Micah Parsons, big deal. They did a much better job on him in the second half, so gotta love that.
Number two.
Number two, Anthony. You had number two.
Number two, Mr. Craig Hoffman, I had Kevontae Turpin. I think he had sort of a mixed day. I want to say he didn't have any explosive. I take that back.
That's incorrect. He had an explosive on the first drive.
Yeah, he had the
dig. Noah Igbinoghene.
Yep.
Fell down.
Yeah, that was bad. And I don't even think, you know, his route running isn't all that, but he's so quick, he's so fast, and he had that play. But outside of that, Craig, I think we did a good job of, you know, limiting like his impact on the game. He didn't really have too many return opportunities. They lined him up in the backfield one time. He had 5 yards on that run. So I think we did a good job just limiting the big play outside of that first drive. Like the first drive, we did give up some chunk plays.
He had 5 total targets, 3 catches, 53 yards. So his other 2 catches, he had average 10 yards of reception on those.
Yeah.
So like he definitely had, I mean, that's a Kevontae Turpin type of day. Can you get a big one? But I do think on the special teams front, it is worth pointing out that like Zane Gonzalez greater than sign Austin Seibert on being able to kick the ball through the end zone, which
yes.
is why like it was so frustrating when they lost the Dallas game the first time. And it's like, why did you kick to that dude? Like you just had this big giant play. You have all this stuff that's going right for you. You're starting to get momentum and you kick the ball to Kevontae Turpin and he returns it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
He's arguably the best returner in the entire league. And so what they decided to do with playoffs seating on the line, they literally, I don't think they let him return a single one.
Nope.
Kick returns. He had 1 for 30 yards.
Oh, wow.
So they messed up once. But also, they kept it away from him on punts, slash were able to make him fair catch it on punts. He had 1 punt return for 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, really sensational job by Zane and by Tress and by the coverage teams to limit the explosiveness there. Yeah, Kevontae Turpin. Thank God, not a huge impact.
Number three.
I picked Terry McLaurin, and I feel pretty good about that one. This was an interesting Terry game on the whole, right? Terry in this game, he is pretty low volume in the first half, but it's, when I say low volume, like didn't make a ton of noise, But there's a couple of near misses. There's the one where Jaden has to extend the play, and there's that runs. It's a two-man. Yeah, it's a two-man route, which I typically hate, and they typically hate. But they tried to take a big shot, and Dallas sat on it. And Jaden does a good job of extending the play, and Terry's just like, I guess I better book it. And he creates like this really beautiful window for Jaden to try to loft it into, and Jaden just misses him. There's a couple other plays where he's the target and he doesn't get it. But then Marcus starts hitting him more in the second half. But there was clearly a concerted effort on slants, on hitches. There are some deeper shots that are covered where there's a shallow cross on third down where they put him on the right side and have him run across. It's the first third down of the game where Michael Dieter gets beaten immediately and Jaden can't get it off. But like that could have very easily been a 30-yard gain if Dieter even just like chips Parsons instead of full-on whiff. Terry's so open because he smokes his dude off the line in man coverage, and they do a good job with the alignment to make the DB to make Deron Bland run through traffic, and he's just chasing Terry. So there's a real concerted effort to get Terry the ball and feature him, and eventually it paid off in actual numbers. And obviously, I mean, congrats to Cliff, bro. Last play of the game, where do you think that ball's going? And they get the 3-by-1, get Terry isolated. I don't know why. I mean, I guess your choice is there if you're Deron Bland, or you give up the fade. Or you give up the slant. You can't give up. You can't not give up both. And he gave up the fade, and Terry made a hell of a play. That little high five ball where it's your ball or nobody's ball, and bravo.
What do you make of Terry and Jaden's like connection the last few weeks?
Yeah,
it's a bit off.
I would like for it to be better. Bold take. I know. I think Terry. Terry's had the ankle thing, which I think is affecting the timing ever so slightly.
Okay.
But it shouldn't, like, you gotta just make the throws. I don't know.
The slant, I know in the, I want to say, that was the second drive, I think it was. He missed a slant. And then he also had, like, an out. Like, we had, like, three straight targets to Terry, and we just missed them, like, all of them. So I think that would just be another thing that concerns me, just being on, you know, point with your number one receiver and making sure that he can go out there and make the plays.
Yeah, it was such a weird day for Jaden, too. Like, I think by and large after that first series, like, I have a note on one play where, like, he wants Terry on and out. It's covered. If he works back to the middle to Zach, he's got him wide open, but he doesn't make the throw, or he doesn't see it, and he runs. But, like, for the most part, after that first series, like, I thought Jaden actually saw the field pretty well. It just, he was off. Yeah. And hey, man, get it out of your system. Like, let's go back to some warm weather down in Tampa this weekend and play like it's September. Yeah. Maybe not September against Tampa, because that was one where Jaden didn't see the field very well. But Tampa's, I mean, Logan was texting me all these stats this morning, and he was like, can you double check this? Are they first in this and second in that and third in that? And like, they're second in the league in unblocked pressures. Hate that. Like second or third in the league in explosive runs on offense. Hate that. So it's going to be a tough one this weekend in Tampa for sure, but they absolutely can win this game. They just are going to need a much sharper version of Terry / the Terry Jaden connection, which I think on yesterday was definitely more on the Jaden side of things. All right, we got three more players to talk about in our pick six at six. We'll get to those in a second, but first let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches. Wrapping up here on the Team 980, because in 12 minutes from right now, you'll be listening to Westwood One's coverage of the FCS National Championship game here on the Team 980. Tomorrow, following the show, Wizards basketball. We got a bunch of play-by-play this week, but we're going to give you as much Hoffman show as we can in the time that we are allotted, which means we will wrap up the show today with our pick six at six, final three players to talk about. And they are definitely interesting. Anthony, if you could please...
Number four.
Rico Dowdle was number four. Rico, who had another nice day against the Commanders, and Deuce Vaughn had an even nicer day. I think the talking point for the Commanders here is the run defense was not very good, Anthony.
I mean, all right, I'll ask you this before you say the run defense wasn't so good. Giving up 4 yards a carry, is that bad? Okay.
Four is the threshold, really. Yeah. Like, if it's 3-9, like, all right, 4-0, not good. We're getting to 4-1, 4-2. Like, yikes, that's not good.
I think for the Commanders, though, like, this was one of our better days against the run in terms of because of like where we were. I think when you look at Rico Dowdle, 22 carries, 72 yards, 3.3 on the ground. And then you look at Deuce Vaughn and Hunter Lepke. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
I think those two definitely had some explosive runs. But for the most part, I think we did a solid job bottling up their rushing attack.
I mean, they ran it S
31 times. 31 times.
39 times.
Oh, 30. Oh, well, if you include the quarterback.
39 for 150. Yeah. So the 150, it's like, okay, well, they only averaged 3.8 a carry. I think the problem is part of the reason they run it 39 times is because you can't get stops. And like DQ actually, I thought, had a really good perspective on this today where he goes, unlike some of our problems this year where we've given up a ton of it, like we've been great and then we give up an explosive, like against Chicago or Philly, they give up the explosive and then they were great. This was just constantly giving up 4, 5, 6 yards, and they get a stuff, but then they give up something else. And like Dallas ran, I'm not looking forward to watching the defense just because it's going to take me forever. They ran almost 80 plays in the game.
Good gracious.
Like, I was able to watch the offense in 2.5 hours today. Like, it's going to take me 3+ hours to watch the defense. Like, I'm happy that we are off early tonight because I'm going to have to go grind out 1.5 hours of tape tonight, get up early, and finish the defense before we get to take command tomorrow. It's going to take me forever to watch this defense. And they tried the Daron Payne at end thing. It didn't, like, it worked on the first carry. The second carry, they gave up 7 yards. And I think that's the problem is there's just a ton of sustained drives where Dallas was able to make plays. And some of the sacrifices they made on occasion for the running back run game then hurt them in the pass game because the pass rush wasn't very good in this game either. And it's just being able to do it in a timely fashion. The ultimate numbers are not that bad, in part because some of the trick plays and stuff, like they get Brandon Cooks for a -5 on a reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're good at that stuff. But can you stop another team's base run game when you got to have it? And that's where I think that things are still frustrating.
Number five
was Michael Dieter, because he played for Tyler Biadasz. And boy, did they miss Tyler Biadasz. Hilariously, Michael Dieter graded out at a 66 in this game. Because I guess he was really good against the run, according to PFF. He had a 43.9 pass grade and a 74.5 run game. And he had some nice moments in the run game. I will say, as I think back, like, he had some good stuff there. And he's a big, strong, physical dude. But I just think the lack of consistency at that position is really hurtful. And you realize it when you go from a guy like Biadasz, who you can pretty much rely on. And, like, not just rely on to get the assignments right and get everybody lined up, but, like, snap in, snap out. Is the snap going to be good? Or is he going to float one back there and cause the timing to be off? Or is Marcus going to have to one hand a low snap? And there's just like stuff like that where you're like, man, yikes. And I had a thought during the game where I was like, man, do they just put Allegretti at center and put Chris Paul in at left guard? And it got better from there. But again, I think Michael Dieter was the reason that Jaden Daniels didn't finish the game in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I thought, like, when I don't want to, like, trash the dude.
Michael Dieter's Michael Dieter.
Yeah,
he's a backup.
Dieter. Yeah.
You can do worse.
Yeah.
If you could do better, if you couldn't do better, then he wouldn't be a backup.
Yeah.
It's the Michael Dieter of it all. All right, we should get to this last one.
Number six.
We're like, all right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about BSJ. And Michael Davis. So in this game, St. Juice plays 74 of 78 snaps. Michael Davis plays just... did he play any defensive snaps?
I didn't see him on the defense, Craig.
He played 0 defensive snaps.
Yeah.
That is stunning to me, quite frankly. Because against Dallas, a team that we knew wanted to run the ball a ton, Michael Davis is a pretty good edge setter. So I thought purely in like an attempt to stop the run that Michael Davis would get some time, but he doesn't. And I think Benjamin St. Juice is the better player. And I thought Juice showed that for most of the game until big moments late where he just seemingly can't help himself. And I don't know what to do about that at this point, because one of them is a legit holding call that is a bad job by Juice. And the other one is exceptional coverage on a really tough play. It's a well-thrown ball and a good route that gets called for PI that isn't PI. And I just, there's been like three or four of those this year where I'm like, if I'm coaching him, I don't know what to tell him because he did what I asked and the referees called a bogus foul. And that's frustrating. But the problem is when that happens to you once and twice, and like referees do scouting reports, and they, I'm sure in their scouting reports are like, hey, this guy's really handsy. So they look for it. And is that fair? No. Call the game that's in front of you. I hate kind of that they do scouting reports. But also, if I don't know, it's just
I was
same old story, man. Like that's really what it is.
Yeah. I was literally about to ask whether or not like St. Juice is just being called because of he has a history of, you know, being ultra aggressive, physical, handsy. My thing is like you have other cornerbacks in the NFL, and I guess like a guy like Sauce Gardner, like his first two, three seasons, I want to say like he was always super aggressive, handsy, and it wasn't until this season where he sort of kind of had a down year where he finally started being penalized for being handsy or grabbing and things of that nature. So I don't really know what to make of it, to be honest. Like I think you said it best. Like he just,
I mean, he gave up two catches on three targets.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. One of them, he like played perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about it on the broadcast. Like as soon as the back foot hits, like his that was one of the best breaks he had all year. And he's on it 5 yards on like a first and 10 and like, good job.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the other one. I guess there's something with a lot of yak because it says 24 yards after the catch on a 28 yard catch. But it's the penalties. Like, that's the thing. It's not the down in, down out. It's not what he, outside of like the Mike Williams play, it's mostly been penalties this year. And that is incredibly frustrating. And, you know, just hope Lattimore gets back. And he got called for penalties too, but I think his reputation is a lot stronger. Although we'll see, because he's matched up with his old pal Mike Evans. I'm sure the referees will be all over that and just let those fellas play. All right. That's our show for today. The FCS National Championship game is next. We'll be back tomorrow at 4. Stay safe out there. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980.